Everybody head on over to Romans chapter 6. I will get there in a few minutes. And I'm excited today to share the word with you, and I think it's going to be a great encouragement for you to have this message going through your brain as the rest of the day goes on. Especially want to talk to us about the resurrection like everybody else is doing today, but today's message is entitled Walking in Resurrection Life. So you get over to Romans chapter 6, and I'll be there in just a minute. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, though, let me read it to you. I just want you to hear this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So as I just said, all over the world today, there will be people in churches, more than maybe usual, is what they say. You know, Christmas and Easter, we have more people than usual. And I don't think we should be negative about that. Sometimes we joke about it, laugh about it a little bit. I think we should take them whenever we can get them. I'm just going to be happy. I don't see anybody in our church this morning who isn't a regular part of our church, but if they were, I'd be careful how I treated them because I'm just glad when they get here. If you're watching via live stream, we'd love to have you here because we believe there's something more than just my preaching that goes on in this place that's valuable. And we've talked a lot about that lately. But all over the planet, services have been going on and will continue to go on for the entirety of the day. And the majority of Christians are pretty well established in what they know Easter is. They kind of have an understanding that's pretty strong. And I look forward to us being able to talk about it a little bit. And we're all looking forward to the resurrection, aren't we? How many of you are ready for your old mortal body to get changed in the twinkling of an eye? Yeah, me too. There are days when this old body just, you know, you just wonder, how much longer, oh Lord? Resurrection power is amazing. And it's going to be a wonderful thing someday. Can you sense any irony in that word, someday? Someday? Because see, this verse that I just read to you isn't talking about someday. Let me read it again. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. You were raised with Christ. This is talking about a resurrection, not someday, but a resurrection we already have. His resurrection was our resurrection. If you were, past tense, you've already been raised from where you were to another place. Paul said more about this, and that's where we want to focus in Romans chapter 6. So you're there. I'm going to start with the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, you might want to read the context of this later. Romans is a hard book because there's no good place to jump in. Like, everything seems to be right up, you know. I don't want to start at chapter 1, verse 1 to get to here so that you understand what that last little bit meant, but just stay with me a little bit. So, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk, think about that, walk, present tense, in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Before I go any further, I just want to comment on that shall be. The word shall be here aren't talking about something way in the distance. When I was a younger man, you know, early in my Christian experience, I could look at this and that shall be of when I was going to be out of this body was way in the distance. 5 minutes later, I'm 65 years old. How many of you know? That's the way it feels. Like, oh, wait. But I've learned some things over the, because I used to think that shall be was when I, you know, die and then the resurrection comes and then my body is resurrected. This isn't about after our physical bodies die. I could easily just as easily translate this should be. We should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now let's go on. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Again, shall could be understood as should also live with him. You know, you don't have to live with all the privileges that God has given to you, but you should. I highly recommend it. I wish I did better at it. That's what we should be doing. So again, I don't want us to perceive this wrong, because if we end up receiving this wrong, then we're looking out to the future instead of what is right now available to us. It becomes clear as we go on. Let's do a little bit more. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died once to sin for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, look at somebody next to you and say, he's talking about you. Yeah, he's talking about you. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That reckon word works really good for me because I grew up in Southern Ohio. Y'all need to reckon yourselves as dead. I reckon you are. I reckon so. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves, that would be current present tense again, present yourselves right now to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I get the feeling that a lot of Christians have read through this and really not been able to quite grab it the way it needs to be grabbed. For some reason, we can get the dead part. I'm dead. I need to be dead.
Yeah, bad old me. I need to be dead.
Well, you know, that seems to be easy for us. But do we also think of ourselves as alive, as resurrected, as transformed? Do we see that he's done it and we just need to walk in it? We don't walk in crucifixion death. We walk in resurrection life. Let me say that again. We don't walk in crucifixion death. We walk in resurrection life. Yeah, that'll make us all happy. If our focus is on the first half of what Jesus did, then we won't have all of what Jesus did. We can't stay focused on that. A lot of people come to the cross, and that's as far as they get. A lot of Christians, I should say this in a preacher voice, ha! A lot of Christians, ha! Are focused on the tomb, ha! It's a grave situation. I've used that old joke before. Yeah. They are focused on Jesus dying for that us, and that's important. I get it. But Paul says also that Jesus' death was no value to us unless he rose from the grave. The death isn't valuable unless there is a resurrection. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. It's a big nothing burger. without the resurrection. That's the primary thing. That's the most important thing. Because the one has to be done, but it can't fulfill everything until the other. You can't do one without the other. So death, if you will, is a doorway. There's time to focus on a doorway, and there's times when you get past focusing on a doorway. If you're looking to move from one room to the other, you need to focus on the doorway. Bad things don't happen if you're trying to go from one room to the other and you're not focused on the doorway. You have to get through the door. We got this new thing at our house, by the way. We added some room upstairs, turned the attic into a master suite, and we're very happy with it. Just one thing that I did that I'm not sure about. I put in this big pantry so we'd have storage in beside the sink in the bathroom. And when you're looking at the mirror, the pantry's right here, and the door's open this way. But the door to the bathroom closes this way. And that's not too much trouble. I mean, you know, if you close the door on the door, you kind of hear it, you know. So you have to open the door and close the door. But a couple of times I've opened the door and not closed this door. And as a result, twice now I've had a mark on my forehead. You got to focus if you're going to get from one room to the other. Otherwise, you're going to get scratched or scarred or just flat out knocked out cold. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." John 10, verse 9. Jesus came to make a way, but the way is not where we stop. Does this make sense? Yeah. He came to make a way, but the way isn't where we stop. We get to go through and into something more. Once we find our way through the door, then we are in a new place. We are in pasture, according to this verse. You got a picture of what the pasture looks like, dear sheep? Nah. No, you got a picture. It's where you get to go in and be with the shepherd and the other sheep. Which, by the way, is one of the things that scares me sometimes. Because we try to help people by letting them watch via video, live stream. But if this is all you get, that's a bummer. Because you need these sheep right here, and they need you. Yeah, there's more to it. We've been talking about that. Check some of our past messages. No, you're not bad at all. Bad. So I think we're thankful for the door, and we're thankful for the doorway, and we should be telling people about the door and the doorway, but then we should also be telling them what's on the other side, and they should be in the middle of what's on the other side. And that's what we're experiencing here this morning. We're experiencing pasture. It's the place of provision. And it's the rest and connection spot for the sheep, for the people of God. You know, there are a lot of people who are stuck in a hell of their own making. I've talked about this several times. Jesus is the doorway out of that hell. And through him, we come into a whole new world. That's the purpose of it. We not only come through him, but we are now in him. Think about that for a second. We come through him, and then we are now in him. Religion worships what he did, but we worship who he is. Religion clings to the old rugged cross, but relationship lays down its life at the cross and then takes up his life on the other side of the cross. Crucifixion is important because it dealt with who I was, but resurrection deals with who I am. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Galatians 2:20. All of the great waves of revival that have taken place over the centuries have come when men have come to the end of themselves and are looking for something more. I remember best the Jesus movement / charismatic movement. That's the revival that I remember, not the one I want to participate in, though. I want to participate in the next one. I want to participate in what I believe is a revival that God's got us in, even though we may not quite know it yet. Just starting into something that God wants to do in the earth right now. The Jesus movement came when thousands of families were being devastated by the frustrations of a time that they were living in, where young men were coming back from a war that they weren't sure they believed in and didn't know what to do with. And they were coming back mutilated or even worse, in body bags. And some people didn't like the war and they were protesting, and other people felt really bad and the soldiers were mistreated when they came back, and it was a tough time. And people were confused, and they had just heard earlier in the first part of the 60s that God was dead and prayer had been taken from the schools, and a lot of things were going on that were just really tough. And all of a sudden, people began to go out and try to find themselves. They were lost. They didn't know who they were. So they went out looking for sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Remember? Some of you do. And the trust in government was extremely low back then. We've never experienced that, though, have we? If we, then, have been risen with Christ, then this is the time that we need to set our affections on the things above, where God is, seated at the right hand of God, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. The Jesus freaks were pretty freaky, but I realized this morning, I was talking to Lisa, and I was looking at my notes again, and I was talking to Lisa, and I said, you know, you remember that song from Colossians, the first little verse that I gave this morning? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We used to sing it in the King James Version. I was thinking it was a Jesus freak song, and then I realized I know where I heard that for the first time, because Lisa's daddy's church was pretty country. Pretty country. And I've told you this before, but I think I said it was the Jesus freaks. No, I've realized now it was Lisa's daddy's church that I heard it at, and I think it was probably the very first time I went to her daddy's church when I was about 14 or 15. I got drugged down there, my mom and dad and I and Bob and Kay George, some friends of theirs, and we went down to that church, and they were meeting in the Union Hall for Carborundum. They had that Union Hall that they met in on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. We went down to an evening service. I don't know whether it was Thursday evening or whether it was Sunday evening. They always had their midweek service on Thursday. So we went down. And I remember lots of things about that. My wife and I have some laughter about that. I don't remember her for some reason. There was this other girl, but I won't talk about that. Well, I will talk about it. This other girl was, and her little sister were just following me everywhere I went. And I was like, holy cow. I wasn't really interested. But I remember this song. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here it comes. Ye are dead. Ye are dead. That's the way they were doing it. Waving their hands. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? What kind of church is like, ye are dead, and they're happy about it, too? Oh, my goodness. But you know what? I never forgot that verse. And the verse has some really good things in it. 1 John 4:19 says, as he is, so are we in this world. He is the resurrected Christ. He is the resurrected Christ. He is what we should represent to the world, represent. And he is alive. We walk in resurrection life. So we aren't just looking forward to the resurrection. That will come, by the way. I'm looking forward to it. It's a good thing. But we carry resurrection life in us. That's the most important thing to remember. There's something alive in me, and wherever I go, even if it's to work early, wherever I go, anytime I go, whatever I'm doing, I carry resurrection life in me. And the more I walk in my resurrection life, the more obvious it is that I am dead and my life is hidden with Christ in God. And the more resurrection life I have, the easier it is to walk the way that I should and represent him well. People all over, especially now, are looking for answers to life. And the answer that people need is not in our heads. It's in our heart. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. I'm not going to sidetrack right now with one, but I heard one this week. Yeah, I'll sidetrack just enough with it. Have you heard about the furries? Yeah, there are teenage kids who are walking around. They've bought themselves some tails, and they've decided that they're cats and dogs and whatever else. If I'm correct, I heard this from somebody, so this may just be a rumor, but if he thought it was true that they actually have put in a litter box in a high school in California, so the furries have a place to go. People need, they need help. And we have it. We're carrying it within us. Resurrection life. They're looking for answers. But Bill Johnson said something once that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, don't seek answers. Seek his presence. Without his presence, the answers will often be hidden. But with his presence, the answers are revealed. That's it. If I can just be aware of his presence, if I can just walk in his presence, if I can just enjoy his presence, if I can just make myself cognizant that I am seated in heavenly places with him, and I can just be aware of that everywhere I go, then the answers will be revealed. Too often we're trying to figure out how to help people, and we want to come up with an answer to their problem when there is only one answer. A guy named... I'm picturing him. Andre Crouch used to sing, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He's even the answer to the question that some people don't know they have. Remember, Jesus didn't die just so he could get us into heaven. He died to get heaven into us. And it's in you. It's in you. If you've come to know the Lord as your Savior, it's not that you just have to have this life where it's limited. No, you have resurrection, unlimited life. And it's in you. It's in you. It's in me. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Not we will sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We do sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are already raised up together with him to walk in newness of life. And that life is better than any life we can make for ourselves. So it's time to take our place. It's time for each one of us to be the one who walks in resurrection life. Amen. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. You know, it's really easy to say this stuff. And then you get up in the morning and everything's coming at you and you got all this stuff to do and the job is waiting or you got to be here at a certain time or you got that to do or this to do. And God wants you to do all those things, but he wants you to do them in him. So we do this a lot, but put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, we just look to you to work in us your resurrection life. And help us, Lord, to recognize that resurrection life on the inside of us and help us to let it out. Help us to be the people that everywhere we go, may everyone know that we love you and that you are making a difference for us. And may they see the difference that you make so that they can know the love that you have for them. May they see it in us. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.